Thank you very much. This is the Los Osos Middle School Jazz Band. We meet on our early release Wednesdays once a week after school for an hour. And this is made up of almost entirely students who are involved in our band program and our two band programs here at Los Osos Middle School. We have a 6th and 7th grade combined band. That was a Herbie Hancock tune entitled Watermelon Man. We'd like to play one more tune for you this evening. It's an arrangement of one of my favorite jazz standards, On Green Dolphin Street. Thank you very much. Thank you. This is the Los Osos Middle School Jazz Band. Our spring concert is next Wednesday night, May 25th. It'll feature this group, our concert bands, and also all of our choirs here. It's at 7 o'clock at the Cal Poly Performing Arts Center. Love to see you all there, and we hope you enjoyed the show this evening.
Scheduled May 17th meeting of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District. Good evening and welcome to the regularly scheduled May 17th meeting of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District Board of Trustees. The board previously met in closed session. to discuss two items, one item of pending litigation, and direction was given to staff, and one personnel item, direction was given to staff. And I understand that while we were in closed session, you were treated to a couple of selections by the Los Osos Middle School Jazz Band, and we're sorry we missed that, but we understand it was very nice. So we are now in open session. Do we have consensus on the order of business? Okay. Approval of the minutes.
Move to approve the minutes of May 3rd and 10th.
Moved by Dr. Olker, seconded by Mr. Marinello. Those in favor? Oh, Mrs. Dickinson.
I was just wondering on that little report that Dr. Valentine made about, was it with connection with the status of the state budget where you reported that you were going to fax our resolution we passed to Governor Schwarzenegger, state elected officials, and media, and you reported that, and it's not noted here, but I know that you followed up, which wouldn't be in the minutes, but should we note that? It seems like it would be a good idea to show that we did fax it to everybody.
Yeah, we can note it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay, then we have those in favor of approving the minutes.
Yo.
Aye. Opposed? That passes unanimously. Move now to the public comment session. Do we have any requests to address the board?
We do. Gretchen Clark.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Gretchen Clark, president of the Morro Bay High School Music Boosters. As the parent of a graduating senior, I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you to the school board for all you do to foster music in our schools. I speak for the many parents of band and choir students in our district who are deeply appreciative of the excellent music programs in which their students are privileged to participate. The first time we heard the Los Osos Middle School Jazz Band, my husband and I were visiting during an open house in preparation for our son's enrollment here. We couldn't believe our ears. That young people could have such a command of the jazz literature was truly exciting. We knew then that we would do everything we could to support his involvement in the music program. During the six subsequent years, there have been many thrilling and gratifying moments for us, such as seeing middle school musicians, excited to have members of our board at the second annual Save Music in Our Schools concert on May 1st, and we'd like to extend additional invitations to all of you to be our guests at the San Luis Obispo and Morro Bay High School Band Concert, May 24th, the Los Osos Middle School Band and Choir Concert, May 25th, and the combined San Luis Obispo and Morro Bay High School Choral Concert, June 9th, all at the Performing Arts Center. If you're interested in having your name on the comp list, please contact Mrs. Varney at Morro Bay High School. And thank you for all you do.
Thank you. Okay, the next item is a presentation.
Mr. Robinette.
Mr. Robinette.
Thank you, Madam President. We get a nice audience for a couple of reasons in board meetings, either when there's something highly controversial or when we're honoring our Employees of the Year and our Golden Apple Special Educator Award. And so it's the latter we're doing tonight, which is always fun. The employee recognition program is something we do each year to honor employees of various types in our organization. As you recall, at our last board meeting, in honor of the Day of the Teacher, we did our Teacher of the Year presentation. And tonight we want to recognize employees from various other groups. And to do so, I'm going to ask their supervisor to come up and say a few words about them. We also have, and I'll ask Dr. Valentine and maybe members of the board to assist in giving out certificates afterwards to our recipients. And I will also read for the board the other nominees that were considered. These were selected from groups of employees representative of all of our bargaining groups, and real excited for the recipients. So these are great representatives of our school district. So to present our first, I think I'm going to go in alphabetical order, to present our first one for the school support employee of the year, because the principal, Mr. Doug Jennison, is unable to be here tonight, I'd like Mrs. Christina Lucas to come forward.
It's all about Sharon. Thank you. Sharon Haupt is a special chapter in all our lives. As the Library Media Center technician at Baywood Elementary School, don't read, that's my job. You've done enough reading. Technician at Baywood Elementary School, she enriches all our lives of literature and technological literacy with expertise and grace. Sharon has a way of capturing everybody's thrill and love for reading. She knows every student's name in our library. She knows what they like to read, and she knows what level they're reading that material at. She makes use of computers easy for all of us. She gently nudges us into taking a step deeper into the study of technology, but she has a very gentle way of making sure we're successful. Now, her willingness to come to the aid of teacher in computer distress is absolutely phenomenal. I know there is a computer and a printer in our school that will not operate unless her power and her aura and her purchase digital cameras to help the children capture what they see before their eyes before they write it. And this does help support our school site plan. The library at Baywood is warm and caring because of many of her own personal artifacts that she has on display. A trinket may capture a student's interest and send them off delving into books hidden behind the shelves. It's also her personal interest to go scuba diving in the summer, and many of the times when she goes to visit faraway places, she will contact tiny little remote libraries and ask them, "What do you need?" Then she'll gather and collect and transport a whole group of books for that small little town. Mrs. Haupt is a very special, special chapter in all of our lives at Baywood. Without her, we would be lost in the periodicals, yes. We would be missing in the CPUs and unable to find our way down the aisle of the network. We honor and treasure Madam Wonderful, Sharon Haupt.
Sharon's name will also be included on our perpetual plaque that we hang in our office. I would also like to make notice of the other individuals who were nominated for the School Support Employee of the Year. From San Luis Obispo High School, Counselor Greg Betancourt, Special Education Paraeducator Cindy Fear, Counselor Jean Kidder, Noon Supervisor Michael O'Reilly, Counselor Roanna Prell, English language learner aide Nora Tony, and Counselor Jim Vager. From Los Osos Middle School, librarian Vicki Rayburn, and from Pacheco Elementary School, Library Media Center Tech Shelley Stevenson. Now it's my turn. If I can bring Jan McCarthy up here. For most of our employees, Jan McCarthy is often literally the first human contact they make in any given day, sometimes before their spouse even. For myself, there is never a time that I walk in the office in the morning and Jan isn't already well into her workday, because she arrives well before 6:30 every morning to begin the incredible task of assuring that substitutes are in place in every branch of our school district, in every part of our school district. Though we use an automated system for some of our work, everyone knows that it is the personal touch that Jan brings that make the difference. Always friendly, always smiling, always serving our needs, employees and the general public know that they are being cared for. But you should know, and I don't think a lot, she has worked with us in the district for over 14 years as an administrative assistant in instructional services and now as a personnel assistant. And though she and her husband Clint are planning a move to Washington 8 sometime in the near future, I'm hoping that it's in the far distant future because I get to work with great people, and Jan is certainly one of those. She calls herself the curmudgeon in our office, but we all know better. And so I present to you the Clerical Support Employee of the Year, Jan McCarthy. Jan organizes this Employee of the Year thing every year, so it was kind of tricky to hide the whole thing from her. It took quite a bit of doing when she ordered the little piece to go on the plaque to keep her from knowing that her name was on there.
Rick, she says she had to type her own.
Well, a million words a minute, you know? I'd also like to recognize the other nominees for Clerical Support Employee of the Year: School Secretary Valerie Ayers from Hawthorne Elementary, Senior Secretary Clerk Marilyn Behrens from Morro Bay High School, Debbie Juergens, Administrative Assistant in Facilities Operations and Transportation, Bonnie Kruger, Senior Secretary Clerk, Morro Bay High School, Kelly Lowe, Receptionist in the Adult School, Don Orr, our Network Specialist, Sheila Paragabagger, Senior Secretary Clerk from San Luis Obispo High School, Cindy Varney, School Secretary, Morro Bay High, and Alicia Wright, Registrar from San Luis Obispo High School. I believe we literally have a bus parked out front to help us honor our next recipient, and so I would like to bring up Mr. Brad Parker.
It's nice to see you here, and I noticed a large group of your colleagues here, and I think I know which ones they are because they're dressed in yellow. They can stand up. In addition to Nikki being a special education bus driver, Nikki is a special bus driver. Nikki is always there to help new drivers if any other route encounters any problem. Nikki's quick to lend assistance. She goes out of her way to help students, and she's the first warm, friendly face that they see as they begin their school day. Nikki's a team player who is always available as a sounding board for other drivers and for her supervisor, who would like to be here, but it's her union's bargaining team, and consistently offers her perspective while listening to others with an open mind. Nikki's a shining example of the best of the best physical support employees and richly deserves this recognition.
I would also like to recognize our other nominees. from our print shop, our printer, Curtis Banner, who is alive and well living in Texas, I believe, right now. Custodian from Laguna Middle School, Gary Edmondson, and custodial crew chief from San Luis Obispo High School, Mr. Rick Stimson. And at this time, I'd like to have our next presentation made by our superintendent, Dr. Ed Valentine.
I had the honor the other night of attending Morro Bay High School's academic awards banquet. And when I mentioned in the middle of some comments that I was making that Pete had been selected as District Administrator of the Year, the audience spontaneously rose to its feet in applause. When I returned to sit down next to Pete, he kind of patted me on the back and said, "I was hoping you wouldn't mention that." What a pleasure it is to stand up and speak the praises of Pete Zotovich. What an even greater pleasure knowing that it vexes you for me to do so. Pete is a former athlete. He may even be one now, I don't know, but I'm sure he was a former athlete anyway, who, if he was anything like he is now, must have been described as sneaky quick. Pete is one of those rare people who can take an idea that is half-formed when it is given to him and turn it into a fully fleshed-out dream. He'd be the first to tell you that he doesn't do it alone. He works with a talented and dedicated staff, a terrific parent community, and wonderful students, and all of that is true. But for this moment, we are honoring leadership, leadership which has raised the bar on academic achievement for everyone in our county. Leadership which has brought to Morro Bay High School and to San Luis Coastal recognition for being a California Distinguished School. Leadership which has resulted in a spectacularly successful WASC accreditation, which Pete will share with you later on. I spoke with Pete yesterday.
Other nominees for the Administrative Management Employee of the Year are Principals Mary Lou Gooden from Los Ranchos Elementary School, Will Jones from San Luis Obispo High School, Don Schallenberger from Del Mar Elementary School, our Director of Food Services, Sue Thorson, and Program Specialist Mary Zerm. I believe we have another presentation to make, and then we will have a break to honor all of these recipients with a short reception.
And the presentation, next presentation is by, it's going to be Will Jones? Okay, Mr. Jones.
Good evening, and first, congratulations to my colleague and friend and mentor, Pete Zotovich, and to all the employees of the year for San Luis Coastal Unified School District. Traditionally, this presentation tonight for the Golden Apple Award recipient is presented by the Director of Student Services, Jackie Kirk Martinez, is engaged in another meeting right now, so she asked me to fill in, and it's a pleasure to do so, since Julie Beckius is a member of our faculty at San Luis Obispo High School. So, if you could come on up. And I'd like to say a few words about Julie on behalf of Student Services and our faculty at San Luis Obispo High School, and then introduce members of the Community Advisory Committee who will make the formal presentation. Julie has been in the district since 1918. Yeah. Well, sometimes it feels that way. Since 1989, she has taught multiple subjects in special education. She's taught jobs, study skills, reading, and in this last year she has piloted the reading program for our school, which we'll be using next year for our students, and also has been a member of the district reading team. She's also taught English, algebra, and fine arts, and you haven't lived until you've been to one of the performances after the fine arts is, class is completed in our theater when students are playing recorder and keyboards. It's a wonderful thing, a beautiful thing to hear. As a resource teacher, Julie is recognized as a lead teacher. She seeks to prepare her students for life after high school and to pursue activities and opportunities that will mirror real-life experiences. For example, her students in jobs prepare resumes, they write letters of introduction, they go through simulated interviews, and then finally they dress professionally and they're interviewed by a team of 3 to 5 adults. They receive feedback from the adults about the interviews. They follow up with thank you notes to the adults who interviewed them and those members on that panel. She motivates her students with meaningful assignments, and her students in turn acknowledge that she sincerely cares about their futures. Bonnie Parsons, assistant principal at San Luis Obispo High School, says about Julie that she's overwhelmed with the sincerity of her commitment to her banquet. You will shed a tear or two. It's a wonderful experience. Julie is also a wife and a mom, and her son is here with us tonight. Max is here. So Julie is just an outstanding educator, a wonderful member of our faculty at San Luis Obispo High School. She has made a difference at our site, and she makes a difference in the lives of her students. So thank you very much, Julie, from me and from our staff and from Student Services. To make the formal presentation of the Golden Apple, I'd like to introduce to you Lois Perez and Jaime Riley Akers from the Community Advisory Committee, which is a group of parents, educators, and community members who are involved with the educational needs of children with disabilities. The Community Advisory Committee serves in an advisory capacity to the SELPA regarding community opinions, concerns, and suggestions. They strive to raise community consciousness of special education and increase community acceptance in the difference of learning styles and the need for educational and vocational provisions to accommodate these differences. Lois Perez is a longtime resident of San Luis Obispo. Both she and her husband are graduates of San Luis Obispo High School. Her children have attended C.L. Smith, Laguna Middle School, and SLO High School. Lois has been active with the Community Advisory Committee for a number of years. Jaime Riley Akers has been a longtime resident of Los Osos. His children have attended Monarch Grove Elementary, Los Osos Middle School, Morro Bay High School, and San Luis Obispo High School. Mr. Riley Akers is currently a special education resource parent and an alternative dispute resolutions panel member. Lois Perez and Jaime Riley Akers.
Good evening. I feel like I've been on the board since the 1800s, too. Let me tell you a little about this award. This award is not staff given. It's parent nominations. Every year we send out the Golden Apple applications, and parents send in nominations for this award. So it is generated by the parent. We came up with this in about 1999, I believe. And Miss Becky has received it a few years ago, too. So she's a parent that, or a teacher that really needs to be recognized. As far as resource teachers, I just visited the class a few weeks ago and saw what a lot of the resource teachers are up against. They're not just dealing with children that all learn the same. They're dealing with behavioral problems, also children that all learn differently. There may be about 15 to maybe 20 students in the class, and she has to come up with an idea how to teach each individual student because they do not learn the traditional way. But they're awesome kids to work with, and I'm glad she's here. I'm also a student of resource when I went to San Luis High and Laguna Middle School, and when I do run across my teachers, I apologize to him because I was one of those challenges.
Ourselves, and she got 5 or 6 nominations as well as the 2 of us because we both have children in Julie's class. So it's really our pleasure to give this award to Julie. And we thank you very much. And thank you.
Tell you, this motivates me to teach another 18 years. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, I think at this point we'll take a short break so that we can have an opportunity to congratulate our award winners. And I would ask that the award recipients, if you would take just a moment to group up over here. Toward this end of the table so that we can take a group photo. Thank you very much. Oh, with Andrew? You are? Okay. We're trying to... The lip line a lot since I've aged.
Yeah, the bike and has.
Okay. The next item on our agenda is under reports, status of the state budget. Mr. Miller.
We have a motion on the floor. You know, I might save a little time and include that piece in the study session. So we could talk about the issues of the state budget within our own budget.
Absolutely. Okay. So a resolution. Let me see here. Let me get to the right page. Item two is a resolution number 160405, delegation of signature authority,
move
presented by Mr. Miller. Okay, it's been moved by Dr. Olker, seconded by Mr. Marinello. Mr. Millar.
Thank you. Madam President, Mr. Miller, is this the standard sort of resolution that we pass from time to time, recognizing differences in the organizational structure and proving delegation authority to people as they change positions in our
district?
That's
correct. As we add new management and ability to sign on the bank accounts has to be approved by the board, and this resolution accomplishes that that need.
Option. You have before you a listing of materials that have been evaluated by our staff in the areas of career technical education, touching on our ag department, business computer education, home economics, and industrial technology, as well foreign language in French, Latin, and Spanish. We have mathematics texts to be approved, as well as our reading program materials. This recommendation has been reviewed by staff and administration, and we are presenting it for your consideration. There's a summary of each title, the publisher, and the funding source. These materials are for review by the public until June 7th in the Instructional Services Department. And what we'd like at this time is for you to have the opportunity to review and discuss this recommendation.
Yes. Let's see. Would that be you coughing, Mr. Unger?
I've got this frog in my throat. Okay. Looking through these things, I see that these are some of the tier two. Were they tier one or tier two things that we talked about last year? If we had some extra money, and we talked about additional materials. for industrial technology and foreign language, and it's nice to see that these things have come back.
Mrs. Dickinson.
I just wanted to say I use corrective reading, SRA, with teaching students, not the whole entire year, but as part of a curriculum, and it's fun, and I think that that should work really well.
Thank you.
Dr. Matakovich.
That's fine. Just wanted your review and consideration. We'll bring this back to the next meeting for your approval.
I just had one question, and that had to do with primary science. Can you would you refresh me on where we are with developing curriculum or texts? We've discussed it, but I can't remember. For K-3 science?
Yes, we still need to focus on the K-3 text for science, and as you know, that approved list from the state is coming out 2 years from now, and we decided that we would wait until the new list is available to us so we can have the most current adopted materials, because the cycles are usually 8 years in length.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion on this item? Any member of the public that cares to speak to this? Seeing none, we'll move on. Item 4, bid number 192, district-wide data systems project, presented by Mr. Parker.
Good evening. As the board will recall, we presented the scope of work that we envisioned for this summer in order to bring the infrastructure for our technology in the district up to speed and correct many years of neglect of investment into that infrastructure. And we actively marketed this bid because we were very concerned that we get the very best price. And even so, as you noticed, that we only had about 10 companies take out bid specifications. Why it is more companies don't have that sort of a record and a reputation. The County Office of Education was very pleased with their work, and Liberty Union High School said that they were very diligent. In fact, they described how they were there correcting problems in their existing network that that they are not asking for change orders. So we're very pleased that DecoTech is the apparent low bidder, and we're looking forward to working with them on the summer project. The budget was the available budget was $510,511. In our bid specifications, there were a number of items identified for unit prices that weren't included in the bid. And we did that because we really weren't sure whether or not we were going to be able to bring the project in under budget, and there were a number of software rollouts that are going to help the Computer Services Department manage the technical infrastructure. So we got prices for those things. Now, we anticipate that we will be awarding some $30,000 of additional work. That additional work would be an extra server so that we've got a hot standby server in case a server goes down at a school. We think that's a good idea, especially considering the excellent price we're getting in as for bulk servers. A replacement of the GroupWise server. A software migration of GroupWise from version 5.5 to 6.5. A ZenWorks for servers upgrade, which will give the Computer Services Department greater, better tools with which to manage the infrastructure. ZenWorks is a great management tool and will allow them to do remote management of the servers. And a continuation of the rollout of ZenWorks for desktops, which allows Computer Services to manage desktops from a central location and save technician time and downtime for the end users. We would like to roll those things into the project. We think that it's very worthwhile for the functioning of the department. In addition, we had kept out the replacement of the... There are 4 2-post racks, and these are large racks that these servers go in. There are 4 of them that are not earthquake safe, and the new servers have a different configuration where they cantilever away from the rack with much more weight. So we had already decided that we were going to do those 4 rack replacements with in-house labor and keep it out of the contract in order to simplify the contract, make it a cleaner contract to bid. So that's a $6,000 price tag also that we would hope to spend out of the available budget of the available 510. if we do go forward with all those additional projects and we still want to have discussions with the vendor about how the implementation schedule and some other things to work out to make sure that we can do those things smoothly during the summer, we would have an available contingency budget of $23,007. And if things work out right, we won't have to spend any of that. So I'd be happy to answer any questions. Amelia's here to speak to the upgrades if you have questions. I'm sure she can speak in much more depth than I can about the necessity and the technical whys and wherefores.
Thank you. Mr. Unger.
Yeah, I had circled a couple of things on here, and I'm glad you talked about it because I always get a little bit nervous when I see a bid come in, you know, $150,000 less than the next lowest.
Scheduling and a pre-construction meeting next week to go over the details of the schedule and some of the confinements we have with respect to availability for different sites at different times and the overall time frame. But it's all in the bid specs. They're committed to do it. We've got liquidated damages that accelerate. They start off with a mild little, hey, take notice, you're late at certain milestones in the project. But after about 5 days, it jumps to, I think, $1,500 a day. So it's not to punish. It's to make them very serious about meeting the time frame.
And I just want to express my appreciation for the nature of your due diligence. It's very helpful for me.
Thank you.
Okay, Brad, thank you.
And this item would come back later in the consent agenda.
Yes. Okay, so we move to the action consent agenda. Please let me know if you would like any of these items pulled. Number 5, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. 6, acceptance of 2005-2006 personnel commission budget and notice of public hearing. 7, acceptance of donations. 8, disposition of surplus property. 9, approval of purchase orders. 10, additional modified secondary courses for 2005-2006. 11, renewal of contract with William Barnes Consulting. 12, approval to purchase and install carpeting at various schools. And 13, award of bid number 192, district-wide data system project summer 2005.
Move to approve items 5 through 13.
Second. Moved by Dr. Olker, seconded by myself. Did you want to? Did you want to? Okay.
It'll ruin everything. Go ahead.
Mrs. Dickinson?
Now, we already approved spending all this money. On the budget thing. We already talked about that and had a session and approved that already, right? And this, no?
Well, it's.
I've been meeting them quite a while back.
Yeah, we discussed what the status of technology was in the school district and what it would take and the various phases of the project, and then said that we would, with the board's direction, go out to bid and then come back for action as we did tonight.
Okay, and this is my other question. When we get into budget, you know, this is our Tier 1 technology infrastructure, 500,000 item, separate. Okay, cool. All righty.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Reports by board members and administrators. Mr. Zotovich.
Pete Zotovich, principal of Morro Bay High School. I would like for the board to know that we've got a letter from the WASC Accreditation Committee yesterday. And they gave us a 6-year accreditation with no visit. So for those who don't know, that is the highest you can receive, and only about 10 to 15% of the schools.
Their legislative action session, and then the third was the Tri-Counties Education Coalition. I was able yesterday and today to be able to lobby several of our legislators about the budget, and the big focus for California School Board Association and the Education Coalition is Protect Proposition 98. the governor, as we've talked about before, the governor reneged on his $2 billion promise. Interestingly enough, we were in the governor's office today meeting with one of his people. And the guy basically said, well, show it to us in writing that where the promise was made. It was quite a surreal experience. But we were able to talk to quite a few legislators about that. The other issues that came up away from the budget, there is an interesting proposal that we may or may not see to allow mayors to appoint school boards and superintendents in three of the largest school districts, Los Angeles, Oakland, and Fresno. Now, that would be quite an experience. The California School Board Association opposed that. There was also talk about a proposal for merit pay, and we understand that has fallen by the wayside at this time. However, there is still some talk about a change in the way that probationary teachers are handled, and to extend the probationary time from 2 years, approximately 18 months, actually, to be able to fire people without cause to 5 years. And you know, there was quite a bit of discussion, and ultimately one of the things that happened was the governor's office failed to talk to any school board members about whether they thought that would be a good idea or not. They failed to talk to any other members of the Education Coalition about that. One of the difficulties is that the proposed changes the governor is making would take away the idea that we could fire people within 18 months without cause, so we'd have to have cause to fire them, which is a big change. Another thing is that it might change the way teachers would be let go with cause and eliminate, for instance, the requirement that teachers who have been convicted of felonies would lose their jobs. And that was something that was taken out inadvertently. So it was just another example of initiatives being poorly written. And I think the final thing that we can talk about, and I don't know if I'm stepping on Russell's toes, aside from the Prop 98, is the governor's proposal to, it's called Live Within Our Means. And that's his proposal to cap state spending. And you stop me if I get in the way. There's a lot to it, but in my opinion, it's one of the most dangerous things that the governor is presenting to the people of California, and I don't think the people of California understand it, and there's a lot to it. One of the first things that would happen is if the legislature can't approve a budget, then the prior year's budget is what's used. Now, in our case, what that means is, does that reset Prop 98 to the year before? I encourage everybody to look very closely at that and really to look at the absolutely negative effects it could have on our schools. The other thing that it does from a political scientist point of view is that it starts to strip the legislature's power. It seems to forget that we have three branches of government and concentrates the power in the executive branch with the governor. So I would encourage everybody to really look at that one closely. Those were some of the things we talked about up in Sacramento with the Tri-Counties Education Coalition. Last night we were able to have dinner with our featured speaker is Bruce McPherson, formerly our state senator and now Secretary of State. We also had dinner with Pedro Nava, who's an assembly person from Santa Barbara, Ventura County areas. And then today, we had meetings with our legislators. Really, I think that we had two very good sessions this morning and this afternoon. One with Abel Maldonado, and Abel sat down with about five of us and really talked to us for about half an hour. And we really had some good dialogue with Abel. Really shared some concerns, some areas of concern that we all shared, areas of concern about the budget and education, because one of his children, I know for sure, his son goes to Orchid Schools, and I think both of his children do now. His I guess his son, whose teacher they liked very much, is our own Mary Zern, who is now program specialist for our district. The reason she was program specialist for our district is because she was laid off from Orchid when they had their first round of budget cuts because of their financial problems. So he understands that. And, of course, then we had a good session with Sam Blakesley this afternoon. Sam, I would remind everybody, Sam has a vested interest in public education. His daughter goes to Pacheco School. So I think he understands some of the plight of public education as well. And I think that it's important for us to continue to talk to our legislators and to continue to share our concerns, especially about the way that that they seem to be. Well, first, of course, our concern is the governor not living up to his promises, and that's our first major issue, of course. But then really encouraging the legislature and the executive branch to continue to place education first, which is what the people of California have said, and we would fully agree with that. We understand that there are a lot of pressing issues on the state, and that's their job to come up with those. But vox populi, the people have spoken, the people believe that education is important, and I think that that's something that we need to continue to remind them. So I'll talk more specifically about the budget. There's an editorial in today's Sacramento Bee that I'd like to share with everybody, and I'll give that to the good doctor. When you have a chance, CSBA has come out with a disc on a CD-ROM that is a primer on school finance with questions and answers and interactive CD-ROM that I think that looked real interesting, $20. And I believe that as a future agenda item, we can talk about whether or not we want to do a self-evaluation and really look at, are we doing the kinds of things that a professional school board should be doing. And I can, when Mr. Miller comes around, we can talk more about the budget, but I think that's kind of where we're at. It was a good trip, a really valuable trip, and we got to send some good messages out to our legislators.
Thank you. And Chris, thanks for rocketing back so that you could be here for this meeting as well. I know you were under a real time press to do it. Mr. Millar.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank a couple of people. There's a lot of rhetoric flying around, and there's a lot of employee bargaining unit rhetoric flying around. And I appreciate Tony Evans writing his letter to the editor of a few days ago to sort of straighten out some of these issues related to the governor's mean-spirited merit pay proposal. I also wanted to thank Kevin Sullivan from SEIU. He's an SEIU steward. For his letter regarding both the funding promises that are being broken, but I particularly liked as he responded to a letter that appeared a week or two before regarding outsourcing district employment, particularly in our groundskeepers. That was what the issue was. The person was complaining about the empire that Brad Parker had created to mow lawns, and not by name, did Brad get implicated until I just did it, but it's a very good letter that explains why, in addition to Brad's explanation at the last board meeting, why things are structured the way they are and what that represents. And what I liked about it is it underscored the importance of the fact that these employees are in contact with our children, are part of the support family in our district, and it's more than just having somebody show up to mow the lawn, and we do those things very well. And I also wanted to point out one other thing, but at the moment I can't remember what it was. I was just going to submit that one. Yeah. And I think that's it. Oh, I know what it was. I can't overlook the irony. I believe it's irony. English teachers out there can help me. Of the governor pushing this really anti-employee schools agenda through the referendum process while everybody in Sacramento is working so hard to avoid living up to the promise of Prop 98. What are we doing in Sacramento? So that's all I had to say.
Thank you. Mrs. Dickinson.
Is this supposed to be up or down? Is it up or down? I was gone all weekend at my daughter's college graduation, so I'm not quite with it today. Honors in political studies, Sabrina Rose Dickinson. Anyway, Dr. Valentine did a great job of faxing all that our resolution off to Abel Maldonado and Sam Blakesley and Governor Schwarzenegger and the school board and the local media, which hasn't really done, the media hasn't done much with it. So, but if you go to the California School Boards Association site, we are chosen in each department, was honored. It was great Madonna in cake and lots of happy parents, and it was really a thrill. So that was fun to be part of and a privilege. Privilege to see the fine young people and all their academic prowess and confidence. It was fun.
Yeah, and yesterday there was a lobby to protect Proposition 98 on the north steps of the Capitol, and all the school districts that had passed resolutions had their name on a large board, and we had Secretary O'Connell there, and then representatives from all of the education coalition. So I was proud to be able to be a member of that demonstration as well. So it was a really good thing.
Okay, I think at this point, before we move on to the study session, we should maybe insist that Mr. Marinello say a word or two, as I understand this will be his last meeting with us. Sadly, I understand that.
Keep it short. How do you turn?
Yeah. This is my last regularly scheduled board meeting. We have a class size reduction convention coming up. I have nothing to say other than it's been an honor and a pleasure and a very bright spot in my life to serve with this bunch of great folks. And there are some other people who have been through the board than the folks here, and they've been gems. And the people certainly up here on the dais right now are community leaders and personal friends, and I look forward to continuing a long relationship with everyone here. This board, or this district, is in good hands with this board, and it's easy to see that the machine is running as it should. So, to you guys, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Let's do a stand.
All right, we'll stand.
There we go.
Okay, at this point, we will begin our study session on the 2005-2006 budget. No, this is it. I mean, I think this is. No, this is it, babe. Okay. Isn't it?
I don't know.
I can't believe so. I miss the lovely meeting. You didn't fill me in.
Hello. Got it. Thank you. Pension. The comments that he got from the governor's staffer in the governor's office today, you know, show me where it's written, is attitudinal in its extreme. And it's representative of the approach that the governor has decided to take towards education and those who would oppose him. If you think about what was constructed in the negotiations for the 04-05 budget and Prop 98, what the education community did was they promised to loan the state $2 billion. they received in exchange two primary things. One was a promise to pay it back sometime. And number two is a promise, and this is where he broke his promise. This is the most egregious action of them all. He broke his promise not to give us the, or he broke his promise to give us anything in excess of $2 billion on a Prop 98 calculation. Prop 98 is not representative of a special interest. We're not a drug company. We're not the oil companies. We're not some conglomerate. We represent 20 million kids in the state of California. And the people of California, by an overwhelming majority of a two-thirds greater than, passed Prop 98 as a constitutional amendment. It carries with it a requirement for the state government to honor certain conditions of Prop 98, primarily the formula that funds education. There are conditions of the Prop 98 which allow the state to suspend it, and we, as an education community, went along with the suspension because the state was in fiscal crisis, and we, because of the constitutional amendment, are the recipient of the majority of state money. It was in the state's best interest and ours as members of that community to allow the state to pay us less money. But we capped how much less money was supposed to be. The governor, because we allowed for the suspension of Prop 98, actually had the legal authority to exceed the $2 billion promise. And that therein lies the rub. He didn't have a legal necessity to honor the promise. The promise was, you allow me to suspend Prop 98, and I'll only take $2 billion. Well, he showed his colors when the marching came, and there was $3.8 billion in excess of Prop 98. Take away $2 billion. He owed us $1.8 billion, which now has grown actually to $2.3 billion. So the issue of the broken promise isn't about the $2 billion. It's about the excess of the $2 billion. And it is included, by the way, Chris, there's a trailer bill to the state budget that all of this was passed by the legislature in. But once again, Prop 98 being suspended eliminates the legal necessity to honor any of those promises. So he's got the strategic value on his side in this particular case. The can we do what? I don't know. I mean, I don't. You know what? He's the governor of the state of California. You don't underestimate, number one, his intelligence.
Yesterday, I think it was, they televised the Prop 98 hearing to this finance committee that Joe Simidian sits on, and yeah. I can't remember, Scott and whoever else. And there was a lot of discussion about whether this is a test two or test three. Do either one of those tests actually apply to this particular budget cycle? And which one is it, and is it being fudged in the application?
It's hard to fudge it, but test three is something that isn't provable for a number of years because its benchmarks of the formula don't occur until the future, in which case you know the present numbers. It's a matter of measuring economic growth, economic spending, and other issues that go into the formula that aren't known for as much as 3 years from now. So test three is an issue. Test two is another issue. We are given a floor, and when the state doesn't have enough money in its wallet, Prop 98 allows them not to pay us the money, but requires them to pay us back, okay? What happens in our particular time period now is that they're funding the floor, but they're not paying for the excess that Prop 98 promises us according to its economic growth. And the suspension of Prop 98 achieves that. The measurement of Test 2 and Test 3 is a very specific and complex measurement that it's not germane to the discussion, really, except within very small circles of people who like to get that stuff taken care of. It's,
well, they were on television.
Yeah, I know, and they like to. I would like to say about the Assembly, Scott and Semidian, Senator Scott and Semidian, they did pass a bill yesterday. They passed a recommendation to fund $2 billion more than the governor's calling for in a bill, and it passed out of committee 2-1, a small subcommittee, but it's a gesture nevertheless, and to fund the STRS 2% that they have done since the 1930s that they're now talking about not doing. One other important point is the live within our means piece. What it really says is that there will be an opportunity for the governor, should the legislature not agree on a budget, he gets to take over and implement, okay, basically last year's budget. But there's two snapshots in time where he will look at the income of the state and the spending of the state. And should they not match up, or better said, should expenditures exceed revenues, he can do across-the-board cuts unilaterally on his own word to reduce state expenditures. That means paychecks for state workers. That means allocations to education. That means everything. So we get involved in our budget process. We get involved in our fiscal year. We're spending money, and twice during the year, he's going to have an opportunity to cut educational funding. Where are we going to find the money after we already spent it? And there certainly isn't many districts in the state of California. There's over 1,000 of them. There's not many of them with have a lot of money to dip into to save themselves if their revenues are cut in the middle of a school year. So it's a very onerous and dangerous issue.
And kind of piggybacking on that, one of the things I was able to talk to a lot of people about is, you know, we're in pretty good financial shape. Thank you, Bob. Somebody threw out the figure 400. I don't know exactly what it is, but I think no matter what it is, it's growing, and we're seeing districts go bankrupt.
Thank you. I don't know that we want to spend too much more time on the state budget. Those are a couple of highlights. I think our constituency, our community needs to know that there are issues out there. If you remember 3 years ago, we mounted a grassroots campaign that the state legislature and the governor's office are still talking about as the most powerful grassroots movement of all time in terms of inflicting pain on those who would oppose us and gaining our interest, which was to protect our basic aid funding. That is a model that many are going to probably be practicing in the near future in order to head off, defend against, or actually attack the governor's proposals in order to limit education funding. I only say that I said when I started, education is not a special interest. It is what we do. It is about kids. We do have a constitutional amendment passed by a vast majority of the people of California. We are not asking for more than what we deserve. We are asking only for the amount necessary to do the best job we possibly can. And we do far more with far less than any other state in the union. We are 47th in funding, and we have the most complex and highest standards to achieve on very limited funding. So when they tell you that the education system is broken, I won't tell you what I really think, but I will tell you that it ain't broken, it's just underfunded. And people who say that are, but anyway, I don't want to get into that. So anyway, let's move on to our own budget if we could now. Chris, you want to say anything else? I'm sorry.
A couple of other things really quickly. In the May revise, the governor did propose some new things that I think we should just be a little bit aware of. Interestingly enough, though, it's one-time money. So, you know, he's proposing programs, not ongoing programs. Some of the ones that I think we should probably be aware of is that he talks about this teacher retention, recruitment, and recognition program. They called it combat pay initially. Now they're calling it recognition pay for teaching in tough districts. We figured out it comes out to about $50 a month, you know. some additional support for teachers. He does want to do some class size reduction, but only for the deciles 1, 2, and 3 schools, so we wouldn't be seeing any of that. And again, this is one-time funding. He'd like to fund some more career technical education. He's proposing $30 million for that. So we're hopeful that would be ongoing, although, again, that's one-time monies. He's proposing some supplemental instruction for the high school exit exam. Again, one-time monies. Some one-time monies for physical education testing. This is one that we thought was really interesting. Is he'd like to get more fruits and vegetables into the school breakfast programs. Somebody
about the priorities of the board and how we're going to approach the priorities for the coming budget year 05-06. If you remember, our assumptions were based upon the following items: that our salaries will increase by 4.5%, substitutes, extra duty, hourly wages will remain consistent with the preceding year. We know now that that piece has changed because of negotiations. There was a little bit of an increase there. Health benefit costs will increase by 6.2%. We still believe that to be true. STRS costs will increase by 2%. The governor did not remove the STRS from his budget, so we're going to keep that in ours. It's in our budget. It will remain in our budget until we know otherwise. PERS costs will increase by 2%. We actually know now that PERS will decrease by a percent or two, so that piece will come back out in your next revise that will happen in October. Slight increases in workers' compensation insurances. Special education costs will increase by $200,000. That's a minimum. It's probably a little bit higher now. It continues to increase every time we take a look at it. I don't want to look at it anymore, so it won't go up anymore until October. So, site unrestricted allocation will remain at our current level. Utility costs will increase by 2%. Water costs decrease by $200,000. Essentially, that's an outcome of the Morro Bay well that was drilled, and we'll be able to do some watering out there. Charter school support costs will increase by $70,000. That's an approximation. We'll see how our outcome with negotiations on Bellevue Santa Fe is reflected. Gasoline costs will increase by 30%. I really don't know about that one. That's a number pulled from air. When we built the budget, we were in the midst of an almost $3 a gallon, and it's back down to an amazing 2.63 or whatever it is today. I'm sure it won't stay there. I'm sure it's not going to go much lower, but we'll find out in the short term what that's going to be. There has been no provision made for any new program costs, but we will budget for the continuing allocations made in 0405, technology, staff development, to the extent that Ed has a piece in his recommendations about staff development, that could come out if that's what you guys want to do. Consumable instructional materials, consumable science materials, increased copying support, two high school campus supervisors, middle school at-risk support, also an item you may choose to eliminate as an ongoing piece and use it in a different way. Increased ongoing maintenance, other support expenses, some of which are also in Ed's recommendations to use in another way, reading recovery and limited-term computer tax. Those are the assumptions for the expenditures. If you remember, your revenues we built, and we'll see a chart in a minute. I'll go over this real quick, but we're projecting a 6% increase in our secured taxes. Our primary source of revenue is, of course, property taxes, and we think it'll go up by about 6%. Our federal categorical programs, which is a self-balancing classification, we will spend as much as we receive in both the federal and the state categorical funds revenues projected. It's $58,586,000. Our certificated salaries will be $29 million. Our classified salaries will be $9 million. And our employee benefits will be almost $12 million. So that's 38, 49. Out of our $58 million, close to $50 million is generated for expenditures within our salaries and benefits area. The materials for use by students, $2.3 million. our operations and other support expenditures, such as insurance and support consultants, legal, those items, $5.3 million. We have nothing budgeted for new equipment at this point in our budget. And other outgo, which is support for different funds, is $827 million. We have transfers in and out, $340 million. And we essentially are balanced at that point. We have a $3,700 surplus within our budget. For the effect of $3,000 on a $58 million budget, let's just say it's a balanced budget. We project to start the year at this time with $6.5 million in our savings account. Just to make a point about that is that we budgeted for deficit spending for 2004-05, current year we're in. The reality is, through judicious spending practices at the site level and other budgetary techniques, we're probably going to have a balanced budget. Instead of having a $2.5 million deficit, we're probably going to have a balanced budget in 2004-05. What that will do is cause that $6.5 million to become almost $9 million. So our savings account, while it's projected on this budget we're presenting to you tonight at 6.5, once we close the books in 2004-05, we probably will end up around $9 million in our savings account. What that does is the very last number on this column is called unappropriated reserves. It's our savings account for which we haven't designated a use. And that's going to go up into the $3 million range. So instead of having $1.2 million, it could have a $3 million unappropriated balance. That's going to be important to remember as we roll out the next step of our discussion tonight. There may be discussion about how to use that money in order to make decisions during a time when the state isn't telling us what they know, what we don't know from our local sources in terms of the actual property taxes, and the need to make decisions before we have good information. We do have a good, healthy savings account. We'll remember that and go forward. I think that hits the highlights on the budget pieces. We have the four components of the savings account. One is the legally restricted amount, which is for economic uncertainty. Ours is at 5%. The second component is restricted balances, which we can't touch but have to be saved for specific property taxes. And this bottom line is local unitary taxes. And you can see how the unitary taxes has been in a very slow but steady decline. And we're projecting for this year a 1% decrease in 05-06 over the 04-05. It's almost negligible on this chart. We're projecting an almost 8% increase in property taxes, which results in a 6% increase in our total revenues. Okay?
Russell?
Yes.
In that projection line, is it a projection line drawn off those previous data points, or is it a projection line that incorporates our budget assumptions?
These are actuals. Okay. We know that. This last segment of each line is a projection.
But, yes, but it's more, how do I say this? It is more optimistic than our underlying budget assumptions that we're using for this conversation.
Actually, these are the actuals, and this is our budget projection right
okay.
now.
Okay.
This is what we are projecting. I'm depicting that rather than what was estimated. And your point is well taken, and it's a point I'll just make, that the county tax assessor projects tax revenues for 05-06 higher than what we're budgeting. Okay, so we are being very conservative about what we're going to be budgeting. The likelihood of getting more than what we're budgeting, if you wanted to go with the tax assessor's record on projections, they're very good. Okay, but I didn't think it was worthy of taking a chance, so I used an historical average rather than the tax assessor's projections this time. But I will say, that they are very good in their projections, and they usually hit it pretty close. So,
I like the surprises, the positive surprises.
The positive surprises, yes. This next chart is a depiction of how much separation there is between us as a basic aid district and a revenue limit district. Should we be a revenue limit district, it would be that red line whose revenue limit sources would be $46 million as opposed to the basic aid sources. Let me do it by student. That I can see better. The basic aid allocation per ADA is $6,647. So that would be what we would get from our property taxes. If we were a state revenue limit, it would be $5,149, a difference of $1,500 per student. Chris likes that. Well, then this is upside down. So, yeah. Amount of basic aid taxes over a revenue limit is nearing, for the first time, $10 million. We're over $9 million in excess of total revenues over base. They might not have that packet. Yeah, I pulled that out of last week's. That was in last week's presentation to the board. I was using it as a reminder of just the assumptions.
Okay.
Do you need that piece?
Yeah, I don't remember the last part in that.
Oh, okay. That's the following allocations that we made that we budgeted for this year.
Okay.
And we'll keep that up if that's what you want.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
No, just I was going to get a copy.
What else? Do we have anybody else? Chris?
I already noted.
Do you have anything? Okay. Well, there's only 63 of us in the state of California, so it's a good position to be in. I think at this time, Mrs. Holmes is going to walk behind the screen because she's going to play the Wizard of Oz, and she has the answer to all questions as usual. And then Dr. Valentine, you want over here? Dr. Valentine will master of ceremonies. I left it on.
Go for it.
I'm going to wait just a minute. You have what we're going to...
That's odd, Ed. It's coming.
It's not bad, even as it is. You have this in your packet, by the way, as well for a while. Don't get too dark. I can't read. That's too dark. Thank you. That's better. I think at this point in all right. Hey, at this point in time, I'd like you to look at the whole sheet that you have in your packet, because we're going to talk about it as a whole, and then we're going to go back and talk about the tiers 1, 2, and 3 and get some input from you regarding that. So take a look at the, it's labeled Superintendent's Recommendations 05, 06, Budget Items Clustered by Priority. I want to bring your attention that we've clustered the recommendations under a couple of other categories, one by function and one by timing in the packet as well, but we want to look at the priorities by budget. The first thing, I think, if we're going to pull something very important to our discussion tonight from Russell's presentation, and that is that this budget is based upon conservative assumptions and is balanced. And the word balanced means that given the assumptions that we have, there are no ongoing dollars remaining in this conservative budget for Tier 1, for Tier 2, or for Tier 3. And so please keep that thought in mind. If we wish to go into Tier 1, Tier 2 or Tier 3 at this time. We can do so with one-time money, and there is approximately $3 million of one-time money in the unappropriated column that Russell just brought to our attention. But we're going to want to talk about that methodology just a little bit. Given our conservative assumption, we stop these programs after 1 year because we funded them with one time. Stop a program or as many as need to be stopped at the end. Please.
My point is, if that were to happen, we wouldn't necessarily have to go back and stop these programs. We may decide that there were other ways that we could find those economies.
Exactly. We would either stop these programs or reprioritize other expenditures to allow these programs to continue. The best case scenario is that ongoing dollars will come forward as the actual revenues and expenditures turn out better than these conservative assumptions. And we'll pay ourselves back for the one-time money that we used to fund the program, and we would move on with these programs or others. As we look at tiers 1, 2, and 3, we believe the amount represented by tier 1, which is $402,000, is a relatively low-risk amount to fund initially with one-time dollars and then be paid back as the budget year advances. To go any further, however, runs us into greater and greater risks that the dollars won't be there, and we will not be able to pay ourselves back, and we will have to either cut this program or reprioritize other programs. So as we look at the Tier 1 dollars of $402,000, we're saying that that represents a relatively low risk when we consider the possible benefits of moving forward with those programs. I recommend starting with Tier 1 dollar amount as the maximum that we would actually fund at the beginning of the year, and then hold Tiers 2 and 3 off until Tier 1 is paid back and the actual dollars for Tiers 2 and 3 appear. Some of the Tier 2 and Tier 3 recommendations are time sensitive, and you might want to consider that as you bring forward your ideas about prioritization in any of the tiers. Some of those programs might be better deferred until a whole nother year has passed. Some of them could be instituted mid-year when the monies became available. Programs can be started mid-year, but it's much more practical, for instance, to build a music cadre, for instance, at the beginning of the year rather than in the middle, although it's not impossible to do either one. An English learner teacher or a career technician or a safe sock liaison kind of expenditure can begin quite practically after the beginning of the school year and still realize benefit from it without disrupting the system. If acceptable, let's take a look at Tier 1. I'm going to suggest that the board consider funding Tier 1 as is out of one-time money. Two of the three items, technology infrastructure, and we've provided ongoing background as this item has come forward regarding the state of our current technology and the level of need that we have for that. Technology infrastructure and secondary reading were both ranked number one on either the three-vote version from the budget project team or on the five-vote version of the budget project team. And you can see also what my recommendation.
I think it's a good point to stop on, and I would like to make the point, very important point, about using one-time money for Tier 1. The comment I made earlier about the $3 million and how it could help us make a decision in the short term because we don't have the long-term information necessary at this time. If you decide to use the one-time money to fund Tier 1, be aware you have two items to discuss and decide upon. You can't escape it. One is if you don't fund it with ongoing money, it becomes deficit spending. The other item is that if you decide to go ahead and fund it, make the decision to spend it now, and the money shows up later, is the first dollars that come in later used to fund Tier 1, okay? And clearly, the recommendation that I would make is that option. You need to escape the deficit spending that we've been doing for 2 years to avoid layoffs and keep our programs intact, all for valid reasons. But as we go forward now, we need to make sure that we fund on current year basis with current year dollars. And I wholly support 100% Ed's issue of funding now those three things because they're time sensitive. And we have the ability in worst case scenario to bridge through one more year, $400,000. We can do that. But if we get the money, we need to stop the deficit spending and use our current year money for current year expenditures.
Just for my clarification, it's actually the maintenance of effort that becomes deficit spending. We're not actually deficit spending in the 05-06 year, right?
Well, in a technical sense, you are, but you're not wrong that your problem becomes the maintenance of effort, okay? So in the current year, it's called deficit spending, but truly your danger is trying to keep the maintenance of effort going.
So the shortfall shows up on the books, but shows up in reality a year out.
Thank you. Mrs. Dickinson, please.
I'm a teacher for Pacific Beach. Do we need all of the high school secondary teachers that we have? I mean, is there a chance that we would need one fewer teacher? Is it Morro Bay or San Luis High School and could transfer someone over there? I mean, are those numbers all that firm? That would be extra money?
I don't think there's anybody that would claim an excess teacher at our high schools, whether you could up the staffing ratio and liberate a teaching staff member. That's always an option.
We don't have declining enrollment at high schools.
We do have declining enrollment, but we adjust our staffing to the decline.
Okay.
I guess the suggestion that I'm putting forward is that if there is consensus on the Tier 1 and the strategy for funding Tier 1, we could then shift our conversation to Tier 2 and beyond.
Yeah, personally, I'd go with that. I think I'd go with that.
I'm in agreement with Tier 1.
Thank you. What we'd like to do now, if you look at my rankings in Tier 2, the first three suggestions, let's look at those, is for two career center technicians, one computer network technician, 1.5 additional EL teacher, let's go two more, to a 0.25 librarian, to a Safe Sock homeless liaison staff member. If you look at Tier 3, we see an additional computer network technician, a BG&T equipment and long-term maintenance proposal, and a grade 1-3 music partner teachers in the afternoon for a one-year basis. What is being said in that ranking, stepping forward, is that I would, this is me making the recommendation, that I would be willing to not have an additional computer network technician, to not have music in grades 1-3, and to not have the BG&T long-term equipment maintenance if I could have career and college information to our high school students, if I could have additional help in the English Learner Program, if I could have additional library time, if I could have someone that coordinated social services for at-risk kids. I'm indicating that if I had to choose between the two, I would sacrifice Tier 3 in order to realize Tier 2. So as...
Are you saying you would forego Tier 3 in order to implement all of the items in Tier 2?
Yes, I am. However, there are no dollars, as we know, available for either of them. So what I'm really saying is if I were to get, for instance, $186,000, which would fund a grade 1-3 music program, that if I would be willing to trade those dollars in order to fund career technicians and the other items. And as you make changes, that is the commitment that you make, is that I would rather do this with this dollar than that with that dollar. So with that said, I thought we might, with the board's consent, ask you to take a look at the Tier 2 and Tier 3 items and just take a moment personally yourself to kind of rank those items. There's 10 of them, so start with number 1. Ignore my rankings. My rankings don't count in this conversation any further. But put your number 1 next to your very top choice for funding of those. Put number 2 to your second funding and so forth. When we get done with this, we'll ask you to declare your votes, and we will come up with a tally that'll show where the strongest items played.
We have a question from our audience, Mrs. Andreen.
Thank you, Patty Andreen. I'm listening to the discussion of the availability of the one-time monies and the, you know, wise policy of being very cautious in distinguishing between one-time expenditures and the ongoing. And I'm not sure why the two staff development pilots for the 1-3 music and 1-3 PE partner teachers are not considered one-time.
The recommendation, anyway, at this point is that $402,000 of one-time money is what we as staff are comfortable in recommending that we do with one-time money. And to go further into that, looking at 1-3 music or 1-3 PE, even though they could be one-time, would go further into that $3 million than we would probably be comfortable recommending to the board. Can you rank your? It looks like there's about 10 items there. If you could rank them from 1 to 10, and then we'll put them in there and see how it looks. Look up when you're finished.
I'm not using that same.
Yeah. You like the big print?
I guess I better hit my pencil.
Commander, this presupposes that there are no other items we'd like to consider at this point.
Thank you. You're welcome to put them on. We costed out some items for the board. I'm sorry those aren't actually listed on those as cost items, but the grade 4-6 program enhancement piece was a $300,000 proposal. If you're interested, place it and give it a rank.
The item I'm most.
What's the cost?
$300,000. The item I'm most referring to, I know there had been some discussion about secondary counseling or an add back of some secondary counseling as an intervention piece.
The intervention piece that I processed, anyway, was something that we would do for at-risk kids and at-risk families who are perhaps on the edge of expulsion and sort of going down that path. It took the shape of the Safe Sock Homeless Liaison piece, which is number 5 on Tier 2, which was a way of intervening with whole families who were at risk and intervening early, and that was sort of our costed-out response to that.
Ah, thank you. I had had, and I don't know if this is the place to throw the idea out or not. I know that as a board, we wrestle tremendously with the idea of, I don't want to say throwing to the wolves because I don't want to give the community school that reputation, but the idea of sending 7th, 8th, 9th graders into the community school system. I know what got me thinking about it was the reality and the priority of returning a teacher to Pacific Beach High School, and the fact that as a middle school assistant principal at Pacific Beach, self-contained, taught by a multiple subjects person who could handle that self-contained concept so that we would have one last shot at helping the kids who are so at risk that we're pondering their expulsion in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. We could have them still under our blanket, under our tent, San Luis Coastal ideals and goals and policies and excellence, with the clear understanding that this is granted as an alternative to an expulsion, and should these interventions we would offer in the opportunity program not be successful, well, there is another place. But we did give it one last shot under our roof.
It's a new idea, and we can put it in. You know.
Can I say one thing about that idea?
You know, meeting the kind of kids that are out at Pacific Beach, I just think they would. That's an awesome idea because they would be really nice mentors for that population. I think I've seen opportunity schools. I've worked in districts that have them. And I think having it on Pacific Beach is just a great idea.
Well, I think you're right. The PB kids that we have are not students we would expel. They're students we're providing an alternative opportunity for.
They kind of understand, some of them understand some of the struggles and can kind of give a more mature perspective.
They're a far more mature group.
Yeah, I think
and
it'd be
they
very
could,
good.
They could mentor, and I could see that as a real natural piece to add into there.
Go ahead, Dr.
No, Walker. I just had a question as far as a procedure. I thought, didn't we have to have already, if we wanted to have an item priced out, didn't we already have to have kind of submitted that? So I'm not sure if this piece can, I mean, even though I think it's a good idea, I'm not sure that we can take it up at this point. That was my understanding.
It's uncosted.
Just like that calendar, too late, huh?
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, we did try to process the ideas that we had up to a certain point, but.
Yeah, and I totally respect that. I'm looking at one teacher at PB is $65,000, so my assumption would be the second one would be about that amount. But you're right. I don't, and that's why I ask if it's appropriate to throw the idea out now, or should we say, you know, the horse has left the barn and this is what our choices are. That's certainly the board's option.
If I could kind of step in, the issue does come forward is what do we do about at-risk kids? And I think at this point in time, we're jumping to a solution that it is community school, that it will be placed at Pacific Beach High School. I think the question's larger than that as we look at what kinds of resources we do have to bring to bear for at-risk kids. And just as a point of process, I would suggest that that's a planning issue that the board might hand staff a larger issue of at-risk kids and say, come back and bring us a menu of possibilities that could come forward and that perhaps this isn't the best suited forum to do that in. Are we ready to declare the rankings? Okay.
It's on tier three.
You probably should start at the top. That's where she is.
Oh, I just wanted to say something about this, though. Since it's my number one, even though my piano is dusty and my computer, has to be working every day because I use it all day long. I just want to say one quick thing about this. When I see my students at school get on the computer, they're playing, combat video games and looking up things that are not that helpful for them. And technology is a wonderful tool, and we're so dependent on it, but education has to do with, the whole person and I think we have to develop that from the very beginning so that when they get on the computer, they're going to do something worthwhile, and they have some interests and all to look up and research and ways to interact with human beings around the planet. So I think we have to start early and set the seeds for whole people so they can use all these tools in the best way. So just going straight down then, 3, 7, 4, 6, 2, 5, 10, 8, 9, 1.
Slow.
3, 7, 4, 6, 2, 5,
Hold on, hold on, hold on.
Oh.
4, 6.
That's what my kids say, too. You're going too fast, Mrs. Dickinson. Okay, 10.
Are you at?
Now I'm down at a computer network technician on tier 3. 8, 9, and 1.
Can I insert something here? Because maybe it's too late. As I look at the coaching stipends and I look at the 0.25 library technician, these are very small items. In the case of coaching stipends, they're in there because there may be an interest in some sports like girls golf or something like that. Are you responding to?
I am.
Yeah.
Well, I almost feel like we ought to just take this one out because I think we're going to have to do it anyway, based on our experience with the Title IX. And I think we ought to just expect that we need to spend $20,000 to look at new sports, which will be used, or coaching stipends for the new sports to achieve the Title IX
and stuff
that we've been talking about.
And, Chris, they wouldn't all necessarily be new. They may respond to some things that already exist. If we can take coaching stipends off and make it simply an administrative discretionary item based upon the need, then you don't have to waste one of your votes.
I think we got consent here.
Okay, and that's not going to change your ranking.
But
anyway,
I would like to suggest that we just go ahead and do the ranking, and we can hash out
whether or
not the expenditure versus where it comes out on the list. So.
Yeah.
And don't do Andy next, Kim, because he's temporarily out of the room.
Okay, who's up? Walt.
Oh, me. Oh, how exciting. Let's see. Starting at the top on tier 2, 1, 4, 2, 3, 5, 6. I don't have to do that one. Then down to tier 3.
You were the one that wanted to rank it.
Oh, great.
Okay, and you're voting for Caroline too, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Marilyn.
Yeah, this is really interesting. I'm 3, 1, 4, 5, 2, 6, and then not voting on coaching stipends, which was 10. 8, 9, and 7.
So, yeah, Kim, on coaching stipends, it was a 10, not a 1.
There you go.
Thank you.
Have her fix that one.
Which one?
Underneath librarians, SafeSock has to go back.
Oh, SafeSock name disappeared, Kim. Can you get it back in there? It's in tier 2, yeah.
There it is.
She's so good.
Perfect. Okay, and that, Chris, you're up. Or no, did we do Marilyn? Yeah, that was Marilyn. Okay, Chris.
And I'm going to add, I have to add as my number.
Bob. I want to make a number 1 PE aides for myself because I think that's something that needs to happen for the safety of our students and our staff. So that would be my number 1, and I did believe we costed that out. And then beginning up with career technicians.
Chris, can I interrupt you? That is an item that's not on the list, but we did cost it out. I don't remember.
I think it was around 30,000, something like that, wasn't it?
Does that make sense, Rick? I think you... Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's not a big ticket item.
Well, anyway, so starting with career technicians. Okay, ready, Kim? 8, 5, 4, 6, 7, 2, 10, 9, 11, and 3. Because I added PE aides in there, which becomes...
Was number 1, yeah.
Yeah, if it doesn't screw you up too much.
You're going to...
Yeah, there you go, Kim.
If you were smart...
If I was smart...
You would probably, because you're wasting your vote.
Glenn tells me to take it out, I'll take it out. Okay, then I'm going to go. Are you ready?
Okay, Kim, we're going to resort.
Redo, Unger. Come on. Okay, it's going to stay 8-5. There.
It's going to be 7-4-3-5-6. I think this is working well.
Oh, you want to hear them again?
Yeah.
Okay. So it goes 7-4-3-5-6-1. Coaching is out. And then
9-10-8.
Not 108, Kevin.
You got it.
Walt proxied you. Are you all right? The low counts are the ones that are ranking the highest, with one being the... Kim, is it possible to sort that list in the order that from low to high on the totals? Hopefully it'll rearrange everything. Where's the total? I'm blind here.
Well, we didn't incorporate.
Yeah, I need it the other way, right?
I have the totals.
So do we.
Right there.
It's called a spreadsheet. You may be familiar with it.
It's too slow. I've got the totals.
All right.
So I count beans for a living, okay?
Essentially, it's exactly the same.
It's superintendent's recommendation.
Yes.
It didn't change the order? What changed?
Oh my gosh, there's...
Yeah, we're just... It stayed almost...
It did change, and it's in accordance with the totals. The total for career techs were 16 points. The EL aides, which came in two, used to be number three, were 19 points. The computer technician is 20. The safe sock is 26. There was a tie for librarian and the PE partners at 28. And then in the tier three pieces, the number one is music with 36 votes. Mm-hmm. Number two is computer network technicians, 48, and BG&T at 55. So if you look at the fewer number of votes being the winner, it would be 16 for career techs, 19, and 20 are the top three.
And it's sorted in that order. Yeah. So.
And it's sorted in the correct order.
There you go.
What do you think?
And to be clear then, we can't wait. we'll be here for a week or two. Then I assume that with this... what we have just done is we've said we're going to take one-time money, fund the first tier, and then as we get more money in, we're going to repay tier one in the one-time money piggy bank, and then we start as a matter of each dollar that comes in, you come down and the first $70,000, you click and you get two career techs. And then the next $32,500, you get a half additional EL teacher and so on. That's I just wanted to clarify
right.
that.
And is that the board's understanding? It is mine. Well, we're prepared to take that direction if the board is prepared to give it.
You don't think we really should try to?
And the computer network tech dropped to number three. SafeSock came from position number five of the four, librarian dropped, and then six and seven stayed the same.
Madam President, this concludes our study session.
Oh.
We have a motion to adjourn, Madam President, by Mr. Marinello.
Second. In honor of Mr. Marinello's last... In honor of Mr. Marinello's last... I think you moved.
Oh, yes, you should move.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
That was beautiful.
That was an interesting exercise.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted.